Today is Monday, March the 20th, the day of the Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting, March 20th, 2017.
Hope you get feeling better. Now that's horrible.
It's now 6:04, and we'll call the meeting to order. Comments? Stand up.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence. You can be seated. The chairman comes in. Made good time.
You were right there on it.
Yeah.
Mr. Robinson is outside. It looks like his car is steaming or smoking.
No.
Hope you don't have a built-in barbecue or something.
Does the tape on already?
No.
Yes, for sure.
You won't be in?
So we're all set.
Okay.
We just did the pledge.
Okay.
Going to prove the pledge.
Has everyone had a chance to review the agenda? Oh, did you do the agenda?
No.
Okay. Adoption of a quorum.
Have you had a chance to review the agenda? Do we have approval for the agenda for tonight?
Just want to point out one thing with the agenda. Item 6, the resolution 17-1441, we added a dollar value up to $410,000.
Okay.
And value, I'll tell you what the previous value is on the shares of presentation.
Okay. No problem. Then, do we have an approval of the agenda with the change that Mr. Stevenson just advised?
Okay.
Okay, we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. We have roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Aye.
Commissioner Perry?
Aye.
Okay, the agenda has been approved. We're up to item number 2, approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held Monday, February 27, 2017. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Okay.
And just one
question.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No. Were the meetings in the book the same as the one that were on the table?
No, I was going to point that
okay,
out.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. I did not get to look at the one on the table.
Item that Commissioner Perry pointed out to us that we missed. On page 4, the motion to accept resolution number 17-1438, Commissioner Robinson voted no on that. And
right,
so we
right.
had to correct that. That's the correction.
Okay, that's so noted.
And that was 1438 for the resolution?
Yeah.
Okay.
Robinson voted no.
So you're saying in the ones that you sent to us are incorrect, the ones that are here tonight are correct,
yes.
So we're approving the minutes as they are given this evening, not the ones that we received in the mail, correct, the email.
And that was the only change?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I'm moving to the minutes as printed.
Do we have a second?
A second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Present.
And Commissioner Perry?
Aye.
Okay, minutes have been approved. We're up to item number 3, the public forum. Anyone from public forum?
No, sir.
Okay, and we're up to item number 4, new business. Any new business? Item number 5, old business. Old people. LHA recovery plan update.
Okay. Don't know if you all have had a chance to, even though it's not our project, but I go by 10th and Florida.
I was going to go by there today.
Yeah.
Hey. So the kids not playing around.
I got the walls on them.
They're moving. They're like, we losing sales.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I went by there. They already had some walls up this afternoon
when
I was there by a few minutes ago all the way here.
They putting it together.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sorry.
I said, it's looking good.
Yeah, it is.
It's actually sitting further back than I thought it was. For some reason, sitting further back. No, I mean, just in my vision. It's a little bit further off Florida, but I guess they had to put the driveway itself, in.
Well, you know, you're going to have a gas pumps there.
Oh, okay. So that's got to have room for that. I just wasn't sure that it's just fine. Yeah, no, it didn't matter to me. It just the way I was visioning it. But
it's their new prototype store.
Oh, okay.
That's designed to compete with Wawa.
Yep. Oh, okay. So, got to go after that model.
And then I think they're going to have at least 10 gas pumps out there. So, and like I said, they're moving right along. And we do have, with the phase one, we're moving slowly but surely. And we finally got some comments on the demo disco application.
Okay.
But there appears to be some technical difficulties on HUD's end with the demo disco application, because they said that a number of items had not been submitted that were submitted, and I immediately emailed them those documents to show that they were submitted and that we had actually completed them and completed them prior to the date of the submission, such as the board approval resolutions, the letter of support from the city, things like that. And so we're going to have a conference call with them later on this week to try and work out those issues. So that was the first response we got from them. So. But they were receptive to being
correct. You have to be more, I hope they're expeditious, because when I was watching Meet the Press on Sunday, they were talking about pretty much defunding HUD, and they said taking it down to zero. So we want to get all this stuff taken care of before they decide to take it down to zero. They didn't just say HUD, they said HHS and USDA taken down to zero. So I don't know, that's hard.
Probably take it down to zero, then add it back in.
And I did to let them know that we have received a tax credit award, and so they heard them use a lot of procedure. Not the return time because of something there. So, but we'll see. And we're still on track for the closing late summer, but we still have enough flexibility in the schedule, basically. Okay. And staff is still meeting with the residents about relocation and their life. And we'll probably give them a 90-day notice next month. But that does not mean they have to move, but it's just something we have to do to check the box. And because you always give them a 30-day notice as well. And so, you know, it's something we have to do to check the box and make sure we stay on schedule in terms of compliance with the Uniform Relocation Act.
Okay.
And the developer is still going through underwriting, you know, with phase one and with phase two. So far, the investor, Raymond James, had agreed to honor the pricing for phase one, which is $1.13. And the market is starting to, I don't want to use the word stabilize, but improve at the beginning of the initial shock of the presidential election. You know, we all invested for basically running for cover. And whereas, you know, the pricing probably won't be like it was on phase one, you know, we are expecting anywhere between 90 cents to a dollar, you know, and if we get around a dollar, it would be really good. And they also submitted the application for the green reuse. And so then go with Federal Home Loan Bank trying to get some additional soft money for phase two, because the soft money that we provided in phase one would not be there for phase two. Nor would the vouchers be there. And so they're well aware of that, and you know, working to address that accordingly. And I will wait for the development report to share the other good news that we received last week. And That's Valerie's baby.
You're not gonna steal her thunder.
Right, exactly. She's working extremely hard, and she deserves the accolades for it. So.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else from you, Reverend Richardson?
No, I wasn't at the meeting. I was out of town.
Oh, okay.
Commissioner Hall was here. Well, he's not here, so. That's why the director is
that's why,
reporting on to me.
He's having dinner with Donald up there.
So. Right.
And we did get the last environmental review for John Wright by Polk County. And so now we just have to do the fines and notifications. That's finding no significant impact. You have to publish a paper and article for 20, 30 days.
Okay.
Just let the public know that, hey, we checked and didn't find anything. So, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. Any questions, comments? Okay. Then we're up to item number 6, Secretary's Report, Housing and Operations. Any questions, comments? Admin and Finance.
I said
Housing and Operations.
No, but I was doing my submitted. You got to allow me to say that. You know?
Okay, you did. You said submitted as written. I said, okay, Admin and Finance.
I have something to say.
As written.
The Section 8 Department of Housing Insurance Voucher, we were selected by HUD to participate in it's called UPCS-V inspection system. It's a new system. Since 1998, we had to follow two systems, one for Section 8, one for public housing. The public housing inspection protocol is more stringent than the Section 8. We can do in Section 8 thing that we cannot allow in public housing. HUD is trying to merge the two protocols, so we were selected out of 120 housing authorities that apply, only 10 were selected. We were selected. HUD is going to send three people from Washington to train the staff on the 28, 29, and 30 of this month. What that's going to do is going to allow us to be the first ones working and looking at the system. The system is also going to allow the staff to transmit inspections. As soon as you're done with the inspections, send the inspections directly to HUD from the house or unit that you're inspecting at that moment, which is kind of like a relief, because right now we have to do the inspections, upload the inspections into Jersey, and then send the inspection to them, which every year we have to go through like 300, maybe 400 inspections just to make sure that they upload, because sometimes when we upload the inspections in February, when we check in July, they're not there. Yeah. So now with the new system, we hopefully will save money and time just by sending them directly to HUD. So we're really excited about it, because getting training from them specifically just for our staff is almost like impossible. So I'm really excited about the opportunity. So that's good news for the housing authority. Everything else is good. So.
Are we going to get new equipment for that? Like, are you going to outfit them with iPads or?
Well, with the HUD system, they're going to bring some tablets to train the staff, but we already have some that we can use. So
yeah. It's just a matter of putting the software in.
Yeah, uh-huh. And they're going to do all of that while they're here. So they're going to make sure that the staff is trained and ready to go. They're also going to go with the staff and do some actual inspections to power up the training. So
you're going to see all the additional costs, a good sum of money costing us.
There's always a cost, but we just have to, it's one of those non-funded mandates.
Got to do it anyway.
Yeah. And it's better to be the first than to be the last.
Because we kind of volunteered to be one of the guinea pigs, one of 10, which is wanted to clarify that with what I was putting to you in the email. Because I forgot this is a, that was a demonstration program that we were one of the 10 that was selected. So we 10 would get that training. Mm-hmm. And then if we do it right, then they'll expand it to other houses.
And also my idea is to be first, you know, with the training and everything, and maybe in the future we can train other house authorities and make some money. So.
Yeah. And the advantage usually to being one of the in the initial group mm-hmm. is that if there's any funding associated with that new initiative, you're first at the trough.
Right, okay.
But that's if there's any new money developed or something.
Okay.
We have to wait and see.
And when does this roll out again?
28, 29, and 30 of this month.
Not the training.
The program,
I'm not sure they're gonna tell.
Yeah.
They're
gonna train. Yeah. Because the idea, I love to tell this story. Like when they started with, I think it was React, and they had the new standards for like inspecting public housing and the like and stuff. And housing authorities complained about it, and the HUD kind of ignored it. And then the House had applied those standards to the White House. And the White House failed that standard. And so that's when they said, okay, well, we need to make some changes. So that's, and part of it, that's one of the reasons that you sometimes, when you do the demonstration, you get to uphold to tweak the program.
Very good. Very good.
Even if we paid to get into it, what we save in the long run is so much more when it's on the the job, on the inspection submission. I mean,
it'll make everything more efficient.
That's just streamlined. That's great.
We'll get a faster response, I guess, right?
That's great. Okay. Oh, you said that's it for the housing. Okay. Now we're up to admin and finance.
Okay, so we'll start with central office call center. Looking at the end.
Before you get it, why don't you do the development report?
Oh, well, okay. Oh, everybody's just going to the best for last. Okay.
Is that what you're doing?
Well, I was just going in order, but I was more than happy to share the news. On Friday, March 17th, we conducted the financial closing for Williamstown. The documents were recorded, and we got confirmation this morning that they are actually recorded. The contractor, the first pre-construction, well, the pre-construction meeting will be March 30th, 1 o'clock at the architect's office. At that time, we'll go through all the subcontracts, know which ones are MBE or WBE Section 3. We'll get the contracts amounts and the percentages. We'll look at our plan that we published back in 2012 and what our participation was, what we were seeking to see if they're fall, where they fall with those numbers, and then we'll have to do some adjustments. But coming, we'll come to the board as part of the April meeting to provide you with that data. So when you're looking at the development report and you see that we have $9 million in contracts, but you don't see the MBE participation that you were seeing before, it's because we still got to go through all the contracts, validate their status as MWBE before I can actually put that in the report.
Money's in the bank?
Well, with HUD, this one's going to be done a little bit differently. And that grants report where you see the funding, the RHF and the HOPE 6, they're going to make us submit it like we do with capital funds. So they will hold it.
Yeah.
And then we'll submit a draw like we do with the CFP funds, and then they'll fund it. But the good thing is, like I said in last month's meeting, we have money that's due to, has to be expended, because you have no federal extensions that you can get on expenditure funds. And that first $450,000, $435,000 of it will be expended. Well, it's already, I'm waiting to submit. I just got the invoice in, but we've already expended that grant. So we'll meet that with just picking up the permit and then the cost associated with the bond. So at least that's one set of funds we don't have to worry about. We're in a position now where we can actually make our expenditure deadlines. And then the actual site work contractor will mobilize the week of April 2nd to start clearing, grubbing the site. And then once we get it cleared and grubbed, we'll have that groundbreaking event that we've been holding shovels downstairs for the past 8 months. So
there's a whole lot of clearing they got to do out there. There's a lot of timber coming out.
Yeah, but we just need them to do enough so we can set up, you know, platforms and have the event. And then once we break that down,
then they can get to work.
I'm just wondering if we can get some reimbursement for some of that timber. you know they're gonna sell it. But anyhow, no, that's good. Good news.
You're right. Some of it is marketable.
Sure. And that place is loaded with timber.
It is.
Nothing on it but trees.
Yeah, that's usually one of those things that you negotiate with a contractor keep the price down.
In addition to the trees, you have a lot of homeless people because they get the call from LPD, but I guess they'll be leaving April 2nd.
Yeah, that's right.
Might sell home sites out there.
And there'll no longer be a garbage dump, too.
So.
That's good. Good news.
Well, they heard that's what originally the site was for. They didn't get through, so that's why they were trying to move in early, get the best seats.
Well, I can tell you, we ran into some people from the Veterans Administration. They said, it's about time, Valerie. It's been 4 years. I said, no. We were all in a position to start construction for a year and a half. You can't count design and, you know, feedback. So they'll be very excited to actually have a property that has a preference for veterans.
Right. That's great.
Okay. For the financial report, Central Office Cost Center. The NOI is a negative $6,802 for the period, but it's positive $6,094 for year to date. The issue is when you go to the salaries that we have for the HUD, CFP grants, and the youth bill director, that money will actually come in this month, this time in the funding sources. So that's why you have the negative $6,000 for period to date, but the year to date is positive. When you look at the balance sheet for Central Office Cost Center, it's showing that we should have unrestricted cash of $56,000. When you compare it to the cash report, it's $58,000, which just lets me know some checks still needed to be cleared that weren't showing up. Weren't showing up in the cash report, but everything is as expected. When you look at Section 8 income statement, we have a negative NOI for the period and year to date for both the HAP and the administration. That's due to two items. The first part is that if you look on the actual balance sheet and the cash report, you see that we have $376,000 in cash. And what the HUD requirements are is that we even try to give more vouchers to clients. We actually aren't able to tap into that operating reserve. We either have to obligate the funds towards new vouchers or start absorbing vouchers from other housing agencies. But then on the other side, we do have port in HAP where housing agencies owe us administration fees for taking their clientele, and there's been some issues with timing and those funds too. Mm-hmm. But we are working to collect, and so we're confident that when you're looking at future reports, you're not going to have negative NOIs for the period and year to date on the actual administration portion of the program. And then when you look at overall cash in the balance sheet of $456,000, consistent with the ending balances for period and year to date, that's shown in the cash flow report. Two things to note about AMP 1, which is public housing, is that we had to have our unaudited FDS submission. It's due February 28th, but then you have a grace period where they give housing authorities an additional 2 weeks to get the submissions in before you get into penalties. We submitted on March 14th, so we didn't have any penalties associated with that. The submission of the unaudited FDS actually triggers where we spend between February 28th of the year to September 30th working with an independent auditor to actually validate the submission. Our auditor will be on site the week of June 12th to actually do their compliance testing of the Section 8 and public housing files. And then after that week, they can actually do everything remotely. But during this reporting period, you will note that because of the sale that happened with the property at the intersection of Florida and 10th Street, the NOI for public housing is a positive $1.3 million. Even if you look at net operating income without the sale of the land, since that's an unusual item, so not something that happens on a regular basis, it was still positive $8,000 for the period and positive $7,000 for year-to-date before depreciation. And then when I look at their rental income, you can see that they're 5% above what we budgeted, so they are collecting rents as anticipated, which would account for them still having positive NOI for the period and year-to-date, whether we had sold the property or not. And when you look at the balance sheet, the overall cash of $2.4 million is consistent of what we show in the ending balances with the cash report. Dakota Park is one of the partnerships. It has positive NOI for the period and year to date. Also, the audited financials and taxes, because this is a partnership, is due March 21st. The audit has been completed. We're finalizing the taxes with the third party auditor, independent auditor, so that's on schedule. And then as far as the cash that's shown in the balance sheet, the $35,000 is consistent with the $35,000 that's shown in the cash flow for end balances for the period and year to date. Washington Ridge has a positive NOI of $13,000 for the period, $24,000 for year to date. Again, their rent collections are consistent with the budget. They're 3.15% higher than anticipated, so they are collecting rents. Their cash of $1.2 million is consistent with the cash flow report. There's nothing that really stands out. We do have some expenses associated with number four is tenant services, which is good. We're actually having an event this week. And so they actually rented a showmobile to have a talent show and different activities. They've opened it up to the community. So it's not just for the seniors, it's for the community. And isn't it March 24th? Like I said, the cash in the balance sheet and the in the cash report is consistent. Colton Meadow has a positive NOI before depreciation of $8,000 for the period, $15,000 for year to date. Nothing really extraordinary about the financing there. The balance sheet shows $691,000 in cash, which is consistent with showing in the cash changes in cash statement for the end of the period. Bonnet Shores has a positive, well, a negative NOI for the period and a positive NOI for year to date. Bonnet Shores is one of those properties that have completely paid off deferred developer fees, so they are actively spending the cash to improve the project. The painting that had been deferred and other security system upgrades. First, we try to focus on having the waterfall so that we can pay for developer fees, but now that they have completed that obligation to Polk County housing developers, they're free to actually spend the funds on improving the property for the residents. And then when you look at the cash in the balance sheet, it's $799,000, which is consistent with the cash flow. I'm sorry, the cash, changes in cash. West Bartow has a positive NOI of $6,593 for the period, $16,000 for year to date. Again, nothing really extraordinary happening with Bartow. We did add an additional person to our maintenance staff, which accounts for the increase in salaries at that property. When you look at cash, our total cash is $522,000 in the balance sheet, which is close to being consistent with our cash. The actual changes in cash, it just again tells me that there's checks that cleared in the cash report that weren't showing at the time of the balance sheet. And then finally, Hampton Hills, even though it's little, is $82 positive before depreciation for a period, and then $1,045 for year to date. This property will not be receiving any subsidy from HUD this year also, so we need to actively work with the home buyer counselor to get the last set of families, seven, qualified to purchase their home or even make a decision that we're going to have to move into another property. And then Hampton's Hill cash is $232,000, which is consistent with the cash flow report. And then last but not least, you have Youth Bill. It has negative NOI for the period and year to date. And again, it still has the same issue with cash that we're going to have to work out between now and the audited financial submission of that $76,000 that is not being transferred to the program because we're still doing due diligence on the actual validity of that amount. But it will have to be resolved before the audited submission, September 30th. So, and then, so when you look at the balance sheet and you compare it and you take out the fact that the $76,000 is in flux. When you look at cash and payroll and cash and operating, that $1,800 that's showing us the imbalance is what we all agree is an accurate number. And then lastly, we have the grant report, and you'll start seeing in April where there's actually movement on expenditures of the RHF fund and the Hope 6, as well as the CFP 2015 funds have to be obligated by April 12th, and so we will be able to come back to you and say, yes, we met our 90% obligation by that date. And unless you have any questions, that's all I have for the administration report.
Any questions?
Yes. Just two.
Okay.
And the one has nothing to do with anything. I'm assuming they're not collecting rent at these apartments. You just put them out, right? You told me two of them had the rent monies are coming in. So if the rent monies were not coming in, you just put the people out.
Well, Hampton Hills is a little bit different because that's the one where they're really not meeting what we projected for the budget. Mm-hmm. Those were families who qualified to be in the lease-to-purchase program. They were gainfully employed at the time that they moved into the house. Mm-hmm. Issues happen with their jobs, and what you try to do is to work with, have that home buyer counselor, try to give them some recommendations on what they need to do as far as job placement. And even I know one of them does have a job, but the problem is it's not paying what the original job was paying, as well as banks don't like mm-hmm. when you switching don't have back. Stable employment, right. Especially if your credit is already suspect. So that's why I said we really have to look at each individual when it's something like Hampton Hills. But yes, on the other properties, as far as Renaissance Dakota, Bartow, and just regular public housing, Westlake, Cecil Goldberg, John Wright. We have, on the public housing side, of course, you give them notice, then you start assessing fees, and when you look at that other income section where you see, during some periods, you see a huge increase over what we anticipated to collect, that's because they've actually worked out a repayment agreement and actually may the client provide some money in a good faith effort with a money order or cashier's check, and then they'll actually start paying a little bit towards what they owe through the payment plan. So it just, you have to look at the individual cases, but if we feel that we're not going to be able to collect, then that's when we work with Saxon Gilmore to actually go through the eviction process. But we are the last area of hope. So, you know, we try not to have them homeless on the street. But if they're uncooperative, yes, then we definitely contact Rhonda at Rick's office and work to do evictions.
Well, I do understand that they have to pay something. But since we are the last catch-all, the net to catch the people that's at the bottom. Now we let them. How frequent do we let them slide through the net? But for some reason, like you're saying, you're doing everything we possibly can to keep them.
Mm-hmm. We work with each one. Look at our case by case basis, and we work with people as long as they're making a good faith effort to do something. But then I think, as you know, like anybody else, don't mind like little knuckleheads. If you're going to be a knucklehead, they're going to treat you accordingly. But if you make a good faith effort, we'll work with you as much as possible. And there are several steps in the process that they can go to before we get to the eviction portion of it, because that's, eviction is a last resort.
Second question concerning youth bill. I didn't completely understand how could youth bill be in debt.
Because of the reimbursement basis and stuff, and when they have to reimburse us.
Who has to reimburse us?
Department of Labor.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a grant.
It's a grant.
I got to fund you for
it. It's a timing issue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a
timing. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Good question.
Okay.
What is Beachfront Community Outreach? Is that a condo or something? Or?
Oh, no, that was a company that was
just a unique name.
I remember them from 2012. Yeah. They did tree cutting, right, Carlos?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, it's just
I know. It is a unique name.
Become suspect.
Got to make better plans of why they're a yacht club.
Yeah, I mean, we got to go to retreat. How about that? I want to go to that one next time.
Well, he's definitely a small business.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's the unique name of this.
Yeah.
And we're up to resolution 17-1441.
Okay, back to me, huh? Okay. So, an innovative financial housing solutions. They were, in 2013, we put out a pool for financial advisors. And the way it works is that we try to at least have three firms. If, depending on how many submissions we get, we might have as many as five firms in the pool, so that we've already done a competitive procurement process based on qualifications. We can do this for services contracts, like financial advisor, architecture firms, engineering, that type of service. But when it comes to construction work, then that works a little different. You have to do what they call a job order contract. It's a lot more complicated, and most housing authorities choose not to do that. We just said we'll go ahead and put an IFB out as we get the plans. So in this case, because it's required, it's qualifications based, we put out a solicitation. We got firms to respond. You set up a committee to actually evaluate the proposals. IHF was one of the firms selected as a financial advisor, along with Baker Tilly and what they call TAG. And I keep forgetting what the acronym is for TAG. TAG's specialty is more of tax credit applications. So when we were doing self-development and you needed assistance with someone who does a lot of tax credit applications for housing authorities all over the state, they're the ones that we usually would go to in the pool, because they have the relationships, they know the tax credits like the back of their hand. Baker Tilly is one of those huge firms that happens to be tied with our auditor, Reuben Brown. So again, when you're going to the larger ones, that's when you have something that's really, really complex and you're trying to look at what is the firm that has the most experience, who've seen different situations all over the country. And then IFH is somewhere in between. They have work at other housing authorities like Puerto Rico, Baton Rouge Housing Authority, Atlanta Housing Authority, us, amongst a couple of them that are thrown out there. But they're small enough that they have a better hourly rate than if you were using a Baker Tilly because of the size. And they're not as limited as TAG is as far as, you know, specializing in tax credits for this area. So when we first came in 2012 and we realized after a series of meetings with HUD, and they actually met with Commissioner Pimentel in Miami as well as came here to us to go through the recovery plan, IFH was the firm that was selected from the pool to actually look at our financial situation, go and look at the forensic audit as well as audit the financials from Berman Hopkins, our independent auditor, and make a determination on what would have been the best course of action to actually pay down the inter funds, and we were given a five-year period to do that by HUD's Miami Field Office. During that time frame, our CFO resigned, and so they ended up having to put a person here on site for 6 months in order to stabilize until we could hire someone. We did hire a firm. You have to realize that during all this time, accountants, it's basically their market. They're in short supply. It's hard to get good ones. And so we decided that even after we tried doing a company as big as BDO to actually do our auditing, that was cost prohibitive over a long period of time. So we basically issued task orders for IFH to help us with the audited financials on the partnership. Because one thing about this agency, because of how we're structured with the mixed finance as well as the public housing, we're in audit year-round. From October 1st of the preceding year until March 21st, when taxes are due, we are doing audit for the five partnerships, Dakota, Renaissance, Colton, Bonin, and Bartow. But during a little bit of time of overlap, by February 28th, you have to have your unaudited FDS submitted, and then you have until September 30th, because we're a 12/31 fiscal year end agency, to actually finalize that audit with the independent auditor and get it submitted. So we have our staff split two ways. We have one of our financial people that focuses on the partnership, and then the other one focuses on the public housing and all of its related programs like Section 8, Youth Bill, everyone that's actually in the crosswalk for LHA. They've been working on it remotely, so we have issued 7 task orders to date, totaling $360,000. But now we need to work with the independent auditor from June 12th, when he comes here for a site visit, until September 30th for the submission, and we still need his assistance because we don't have the staff in-house to do it. So part of having that pool is so that you have 3 different firms already on board, and that's been competitively procured. HUD allows you to have a contract with these firms for up to 5 years. Before the end of the 5th year, you actually have to put out another solicitation, reestablish a pool. And in the same note, we have a pool for auditors on the tax credit side, which is separate from the pool of auditors for the public housing side. But IFH has been providing being the lead, because you really need a CPA when you're talking about working with the auditor and responding to questions and looking at the journal entries. You need an experienced accountant, preferably a CPA, to make the process go seamlessly and smoothly. And that's what IFH has been providing remotely. And so that's why we're seeking to add an additional $50,000 to the task order contract to actually complete the 2016 audit for LHA and its related parties.
How long have we been working with IFH?
We've been working with IFH. The solicitation was put out in 2013. We executed the contract and started January 1st, 2014. but they weren't actually engaged until fully, where they actually were deeply involved in our books other than the initial audit until June 6th when Eva left. They came a month ahead to get the transition, and then they stayed here for 6 months until we had staff at a point where they could work remotely.
So it's been about 3 years.
Yes.
And year to date, we're up to $360,000.
Yes.
So it's about $120,000 a year.
But also, if you go think back, in 2011 we were financially troubled. In 2012, was sending auditors here. We got to a standard performer, but it was IFH that actually got us to be a high performer, which we've maintained that ranking for the past 2 years. So the first year you might say it's a fluke, but we've been able to repeat it. So they have been worth the money.
My rationale was that $120,000 a year for somebody at the level of finance that hasn't had the knowledge of finance, that's not a bad price. That's what I'm trying to get at. If you had to go out and hire somebody, you're going to be that's really qualified. You might be almost in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
So that's my point. So I think it's been a bargain so far.
And we didn't have to pay them workers' comp.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
And he brings donuts every time that he comes.
But you're not a bubble.
I haven't got one yet. I haven't got one yet. Any of you got a donut yet?
We don't have water today.
I know.
You're not gonna.
Well, he'll be here the week of the 6th. You can jump in. Donuts.
The water is better.
Okay, no, I was just I just wanted to. So you're looking for how much more?
To add $50,000, that would bring his overall contract to $410,000.
So that'll pretty much finish him for the year.
That will finish him for the year. We have the good thing is we've begun to have stability in staff. I mean, for the first couple of years, because this was a hard place to work, with all the audits and the issues. We had a lot of turnover, but we finally got staff that's stable who worked seamlessly with Ray being remote, because the first set of accountants that we had, we actually had to have them on site just because they needed so much instructions. And then we realized we had to pay more money to get a higher level of person in here day to day. And we strongly believe with the staff that we have now that he can actually start training. For instance, the person that's responsible for the tax credit properties actually was working with him and helping him take the lead and sitting down with the auditors for the partnership. The person that's going to be responsible for the LHA audit is now going to switch over and take the lead with Ray as far as dealing with the Berman Hopkins auditor and actually going through to answer questions and make journal entries. So we have been working with him to bring our in-house staff to where we can actually be able to be in a position to do it ourselves and have him look over the review instead of actually having to do the submission. At this point in time, he's actually building the crosswalk and uploading into React and doing the submission. He's working now to actually put them in a position where they can build the crosswalk, put in the submission, and he review it before we hit submit versus him doing the whole thing. So we are working towards that.
So onward from now, from this point on, it'd probably be cheaper to keep him in the long run, because as you're saying, we are doing it more and more in-house.
Yeah. If he can bring the staff up to a level he's thinking of, I think even though we have an opening for a director of finance, I don't know what we need to make the decision: are we going to really fill that position, or are we going to outsource it? Because we've been talking about it. For a couple of years. Yeah. So we need to just cut to the chase and say we're going to either outsource it or we're going to hire somebody. And realizing that hiring somebody is going to probably cost you more.
Well, from what she's saying, the LFH can do the job, can't
they? Yeah.
So if they can do the job, why don't just go ahead and continue to outsource it
but
at a lower price from what they're saying. Each year should get lower. Cheaper.
Yeah.
We evaluated
on a year-to-year
basis, and right now we still consider that to be money well spent.
Yeah,
they've been very helpful in terms of that's with the audits
training,
because that's a something that goes all year, not just when you submit at the end of the year. And they've been very helpful to staff and all that. And that's how I thought y'all gonna spend money on consultants. Because one time, that's a good thing.
Because this is complicated stuff. You know, every person can't just jump into it.
But my only view, and this is just not saying very good company, very good bang for your buck, but if you do have a qualified person in-house, that also eliminates some of the amount of staffing you need, so you absorb some of the money there because you don't have additional in-house staff.
Right, right.
And then also you got a hands-on person when you have a crisis, can actually handle, jump in, shortage of staff can cover. And I'm not meaning, but I mean, there are, it's a double-edged sword when you got to weigh it. Getting the qualified person who knows what he's doing, he's going to cover it, or he or she. And I mean, I know we had Eva, she put in 8,800 hours a week. Then we got Joe for a month, and then he left, or whatever. I think his name was Joe. He came from Tampa.
Yeah.
In which I was high on him because when we got presented him, I thought this guy was walking on water. And then the next month, it was like, crash, he's gone. I was like,
you're walking on water. Can't stop.
And we constantly evaluate that because you also, if y'all going to go all the way back in history, you know, when I first got it, they had 111 employees.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a lot of fact.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Definitely. That's the first thing I said when I came here.
And we have worked to reduce that. Okay, we actually got to, you know, less than bare bones.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And we've come a long way, and we're constantly evaluating it. You know, we think we got a good staff right now, and IFA just helping us, you know, with that.
Yeah.
And we'd like to look at it on a year-to-year basis.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, they're a good fit for us. And at some point in the future, we may be part of ways, but we're not there yet.
Yeah. So. Oh, exactly. No, I mean, like I said, it's just the one you got to keep evaluating, like you said, just trying to weigh it, evaluate it, and see, because there's pros and cons both ways. Mm-hmm. There's pros and cons both ways.
All right.
Okay. Then do we have a motion to accept Resolution 17-1441.
I move we accept the resolution 17-1441.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner
has a question.
Just one more question. That addition of $50,000, we've already talked about being in line and agreed. But that addition of $50,000, is that industry accepted? Is that amount accepted in the industry for what they're doing, the addition of $50,000?
Yes.
They're actually cheaper. They're actually cheaper.
Yeah.
That's that one.
Yeah.
That takes that. That's okay. I mean, I wouldn't know one way or the other anyway, so if you say it's cheaper, let's go with that.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Penn-Mattel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare.
Aye.
Commissioner Perry.
Aye.
And Commissioner Robinson.
Aye. Resolution 17-1441 passes. We're up to item number 7, legal report.
Commissioners, y'all have received a trove of good news tonight. And Valerie and Carlos have talked enough for everyone, so I'm going to pass.
Okay, that's great. That closes down his bill. Remember, it's 6:58.
39 seconds.
If I was up to it, I'd talk more.
I can tell you how fell off.
Let me ask you a question, though. One, just a half a question.
Okay. Is this going
to call something like this?
Whenever this man speaks, take more.
Let me talk to him.
We got a little news.
By them breaking ground over there on the corner of 14th and 10th in Florida, we have absolutely no liability over there, right?
No.
No.
All we did was sell the property. Once we sold the property,
we're out of
it. Yeah.
History.
Yeah. All that's on Sucker K.
Gotcha.
GHG.
I saw some kids over there playing the other day.
Tell Sucker K.
Gee whiz.
Call the police.
Gee.
There you go.
That's true.
Yep, is it? Yeah.
It's too.
I directed.
I had to bless it. It was a liability question.
Oh,
it's fine.
Okay, we're up to item number 8, other business. Okay, anything else?
I had something, and I didn't get it on the agenda, but it was just something I've been thinking about for several months. Reverend Richardson had did a talk, one of those meetings, about accountability and making sure we're doing proper evaluations, and we talked about smart evaluations and things like that. And here I am coming up with probably something that's going to propose some money. I know Reverend Richardson had did a lot of work, and Chairman Pimentel reviewed what Reverend Richardson came up with for evaluation criteria. I did see we passed the new contract for the ED last meeting. I did see that. And I was hoping to be here for that meeting, because one thing I wanted to interject in that was proposing this, that coming up with a study where we actually have some SMART criteria. Because I remember one of Reverend Richardson's big things was upset about the large diversity in evaluation scores. And when the evaluation scores are so broad and so interpretive by personal views and opinions, that's what happens. And you know, and I know there are firms and consultants out there, because that is really a skilled field to make sure you're doing one legitimately correct. We can come up with them, but to actually make them where they're valid and they're consistently reviewed is a whole different matter. So what I was proposing to bring up for discussion was seeing about a contractor that actually has a specialty in that to review his criteria that we should be judging him on, and then actually come up with SMART measures. So we actually have a level playing field when we're reviewing these. We can actually come up with something that's, you know, some are fives, some are twos. And actually, when you're on SMART, you still can have some variation. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to be 100%, but they should be definitely a lot closer. And, I mean, that's just my feel, because I still sticks. When he did that talk, he wasn't here. He was on the phone. It's stuck in the back of my mind ever since then, because I think one thing we need to make sure we're ensuring is that we're giving him a correct evaluation.
Fair
evaluation and correct. And I know the way I view things is completely different than other people, especially when you have a broad range of how you read it. And there's really not subjective. It's like, I mean, I hate to say it, when you get to SMART evaluation, it actually sort of makes it a little bit more cut and dry. Did you meet this by this? Did you submit your all information requested? Was it timely? Was there one wrong? Was there two not timely? Was there six not timely? Or did you meet your goals by getting this report out or whatever timely? I mean, actually, it is a very convoluted a lot of time to look into those matters. And, you know, to me, you know, my goal is to give everybody a fair shake and do it the best I can. And, you know, I did want to bring that up. That's something that's been on the back of my mind. And when he talked about his new contract coming up in January, you know, when we spoke in the January's meeting, and, you know, that's definitely one thing I wanted to bring up. Unfortunately, I did not attend last month, you know, but that's one thing I did want to bring up during that meeting. You know, it's something that's out there. I know we spend a lot of money on contractors and consultants. I think it's money well spent. Because I think the ones we have are very good, but I don't know if they're doing what we need to make sure we're evaluating correctly. Because truly, look out there's fives across the boards, and then there's low scores. So, I mean, that's just what I'm putting out on the table. And I know it would cost some money to have these people do that, but it may be money well spent to make sure Ben's getting the best evaluation, at least a consistent evaluation that's fair. And I think that's something we deserve to give to him, is something to make sure he's being rated fairly. And, you know, sort of eliminate some of the interpretation, some of the diversity of the interpretation, and make sure we have a little bit more facts we can go from. But that was just something I wanted to bring up.
That's a good point. There are companies out there that we can research.
Yeah. Correct, yeah. I mean, we do this where I work at, and it's very tedious, it's very cumbersome. When we got into it, there's a lot of factors sometimes you don't think about at the front end to make sure how you're grading each value is fair and correctly and consistently. But that's something I wanted to put out a month late, but it's out on the table.
It's out there now.
So it's out there now, you know. But, you know, I'm just one person. If everybody's happy with the way it is.
What are you proposing, that we do that by next evaluation?
Well, yeah, we got one new year coming. Well, get it ready for the new year. Because next evaluation is coming up. It's too late to do it for this evaluation. Yeah, we already have the ones on the table. What I was trying to do is get it for when the new evaluation comes out, okay, when that year starts, which was it April or May?
April.
Which
the new contract year or the new one?
The evaluation year.
I think it starts in April, as a matter of fact.
I remember you talked about it in January. I didn't know if it ended in April. And I know we don't have much. And I'm just bringing it up because I do want to make sure he's given a fair and justifiable ability for us to grade him correctly. You know, because one thing we did talk about is tying some of that to his performance, you know, and then we have some justifications to reward him. So, I mean, but yeah, just wanted to put it out there.
Well,
yeah. I mean, I think that's fair. I think that's fine. What are other authorities doing? Maybe we can kind of follow suit.
Most authorities use a similar tool to what we use. However, any system can be looked at and changed and updated. Mm-hmm. I disagree in one way. As long as you have 7 individuals, you're going to have some variation in opinion.
Correct.
So you're never going to have, and I don't see it at any authority I represent, where there's consistency in terms of scoring across the board. Mm-hmm. And that's with high performers, non-high performers. Everyone, as long as there's an individual, is going to have a varying opinion.
Still interpretation, correct.
So, again, I think, Commissioners, it's up to you. And because it's Ben's evaluation to some input from him as to whether it gives him some guidance. But, you know, Commissioner Richardson, without compensation, took a stab
and
started to make some changes to it. And I think, again, there's always room for input on that too. But if it were me, I'd want to make sure that I had input on the tool that's going to be used to evaluate me, although it's up to you all as commissioners in the end. So I'm not sure if I totally answered your question, Commissioner.
Well, can we have a workshop or something to kind of come together and just finalize some kind of evaluation once and for all? I'm not sure how long it's
going to
take, but...
Yeah, but Commissioner DeCesare made a good point, which is our window is narrow. Mm-hmm. Because of the time we have taken to get the evaluation done, and one of the things we don't want to do in the future is to let that slip again. It's unfair to Ben. It also puts us in this type of bind if we want to evaluate different tools.
Well, I just think that I sit on a lot of boards and have done a lot of evaluations over my few years. And the biggest thing in any evaluation, the instrument is one thing, but the person that's evaluating has to take personalities out of it, has to take everything out of it, and evaluate them honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think from what I've seen is that in our evaluations, there's a lot of stuff that conflicts with high scores and low scores. There can't be that much difference in our mindset unless we inject something personal into it. And that's not the way to evaluate somebody.
Correct.
You've got to take the personalities out of it and base it on performance, whether you like them or not. You know, I don't care who it is. It could be Mickey Mouse, you know. But I'm going to evaluate them honestly. You got to take the personalities out of it. And my years have been on this board, there's been too much personalities involved in the evaluation.
And then,
I'm sorry.
But that justifies what you're saying.
No, exactly, no. And the personalities do make matter evaluation. But I've seen where people take 2 minutes to do a perfect 5 evaluation and submit it.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't.
And then you spend hours. Yeah. I mean, I spend hours doing my evaluation because I really try to take it serious. You know, but, you know, maybe I shouldn't take it so seriously. you know, I don't know, but I know I've seen people just go five across the board and hand it in. Excellent.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not the way to do it either.
Exactly.
And I brought that up, that when he was sort of talking about low scores, I brought that up to him in the call about, I said, then we also need to talk about the perfect fives across the board.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, so I mean, it's, if we're going to do this, we need to try to do it to our best of ability.
Yeah.
And that's just how I view things. And it's, you know, and my thing, I really want to give Ben the fairest and most accurate evaluation we can.
Two comments, if I may. First of all, if it's Mickey Mouse, hopefully a tire is not one of the ways that you're going to evaluate Mickey. Number two, more seriously, I just finished an evaluation in Orlando. And I'm only saying this because I have the utmost respect for reviewing the tool. It's not the tool.
No,
I'm going to tell you that now. It's the integrity of the commissioners.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, Health Commissioner, you won't take this the wrong way. You need to spend the time doing that. No matter how much you talk to commissioners, how much you change the form, where it's not just where you put in a value, there are specific questions mm-hmm. that you ask to elicit some actual response. You will have both ends of the spectrum each time. Some people will give fives across the board, no comment, don't answer the questions. Other people will take the time, give a, especially now since we've broken it down to not just one value, but a range. Look in that range between 4 and 5 or 3 and 4. Give a 3.4 or whatever. Rationale for that, suggestions for improvement, and answer the questions. But that's human nature and that's integrity, and that has a lot to do with all of the commissioners individually.
Yeah. Like I said, the instrument isn't the key. It's the time the person puts in to really give a good honest answer. And anybody that puts a score down without comments of why they are justifying it at a 5 or 4 or whatever, then they're not giving it any thought.
And they're doing a disservice to Ben. So I agree
yeah.
with that. But again, it's the integrity, not the tool.
Right.
Well, it's hard to keep out personalities when you know a person and you're trying to evaluate. Because when I evaluated, like you said, we read through this thing pretty closely. And I had about 4 real points that really stuck out. And just like you said earlier, the accountability. How do you account for serving the clients that's in the housing? Where is the instrument that showed that you actually visit these people that's in the house? I didn't see that instrument. But so then, therefore, I rated them on the idea that I didn't see that instrument in there showing how many times you visit these houses, how many times you visit the apartments, how many times you associate with the residents. I didn't see that. But then when we came back here, we said that 2 or 3 people get together and go through all the information and come up with a decision. But me being not, I mean, if seven of us agreed that that's the way we want to do it, then it takes away my question. You follow me? My one question doesn't outweigh the other 6 votes.
Mm-hmm. No, but your one question is important, as are all the questions.
Yeah. But when
two things, if I may. Number one, fiduciary responsibility. The way this is set up, commissioners, I'm sorry, I don't care what kind of tool you have, you come here once a month. What you're told and what's in these reports, it's up to you to ask questions and elicit enough information, in my opinion, in order to make a good judgment about what you're evaluating on. And that's not just for performance evaluation. That's part of you doing your job as a commissioner, to ask questions and elicit enough information, which is what you're doing now. That's number one. Number two, which Reverend Richardson started, and I think that's why I say we can always do more evaluation, and this has come up at other housing authorities recently, is measurable
mm-hmm.
goals.
Mm-hmm.
Measurable. And as we hone in on that factor, I frankly don't think it's that difficult to come up with measurable goals. Now, one thing that we've looked at recently at other housing authorities, I'm doing your workshop now, I'm sorry, is having the executive director do a self-evaluation in conjunction with the performance evaluation. I'll end on this one note. It's something that Ben said to me during this last evaluation. Ever since he's been here, the evaluation criteria has changed, literally every year, in one way or another. So finding an evaluation criteria that you all can live with and that you all are going to take seriously and put the integrity into it is just as important to him as it is to you all.
Hope so. Yeah. I think it's only fair to him.
Yeah.
That's true of my goal.
And I think we haven't done a good job in setting goals. Some of the goals aren't, there's no way to measure.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking. They're not measurable.
So
you're exactly right.
So now you leave it up to the individual. You know, that's,
then
that's
you have that.
Then you back.
Then
to
you got that controversy about.
That's what you're back to.
You know.
Yeah. So
because
you can't measure.
Say timeliness.
Right.
Say like a board report. Mm-hmm. Some people could care less of that board report's there, but decide it sitting on the table when we get here. Some people expect it a week to 10 days ahead of time like we originally agreed upon. Mm-hmm. So the person who really wants it early is going to grade that as not getting the information timely. Mm-hmm. The person who, as long as it has it here on the table when they walk in this meeting, that's timely to them. So, no, I'm just using that as
that's
a very bold
true.
Example
right.
How somebody could give that a 5 because it's sitting on the table, and how could somebody could give it a 1 mm-hmm. because they didn't get it there. And I'm just
that's
using
true.
That as a extreme example. But, I mean, it's just, and that's where things come into play.
Yeah.
Where if it's totally up to their subjectivity, it could range all over the board.
That's right.
Yeah, my key thing is you, Bill, if once I look through the whole thing, I read the whole time, I read everything. But I flip back to you, Bill. If I don't see information in the youth bill I'd like to see, then the question comes up, what is that information? Then measurable. How do you measure what service we're giving directly to the clients? If it's not showing in the youth bill.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Frankly, I think we're all saying pieces of the same thing. You're interested in youth bill. I'm just saying this for an example. You're interested in what happens with youth bill. You're interested in meeting the deadlines that people are committed to. Two different things. However, what I say to you is, if you want to know more about youth bill and it's not in this report, mm-hmm. you should either ask when you get here or you should say in a meeting, in my opinion, I need more information on youth bill. Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that doesn't change is that Ben and his staff are accountable to you to provide you with as much information reasonably that you can do your job. That doesn't totally answer your question because it goes back again to having measurable goals. You can take a good deal of subjectivity out of an evaluation. It cannot be eliminated.
No.
Because you're all 7 individuals
right.
with 7 different interests. So improving the tool does help, but I have to continue to say it always going to come back to the integrity and interest of each commissioner. If you're not getting enough information to give a valid evaluation, forgive me for saying it this way, but part of that is on you, because you should ask for information that makes sense. One of the things at another authority, because all of you are very financially savvy, but there was a commissioner at another authority who continued to be frustrated because they get the financial reports like what Valerie gives y'all with all these little tiny numbers in it. Had no idea what all of that meant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sat through a year and a half of board meetings, scared to ask a question because they didn't want to appear dumb, because mm-hmm. nobody else on the board asked any questions.
Right.
So finally, they brought it up to me. I said, all you need to do is say that in the board meeting. Said it in the board meeting. Then now is a one-page summary sheet with just the facts, ma'am. Here's what we have. Here's what we spent. Very simplified. the report is still behind that. But once that one page showed up, all the other commissioners started saying, I'm glad you asked for that. Because none of them, I shouldn't say, most of them didn't understand what they were looking at. But that's one simple thing gave, started to give enough information where they could now evaluate more reasonably what they're told and what they're looking at. So again, because your contact with the authority is once a month or so, one, you got to trust the information you're getting, or you got to ask for more information. There's no way to eliminate that. And two, when it comes to this process, when we get a finalized process, you need to approach it with integrity. Mm-hmm. With that, Mr. Chow say that that was 1,702 words just on this one subject.
Way more than you wanted to say.
You could have been a lot cheaper if you hadn't had this discussion this evening when I didn't feel well.
I apologize for bringing it up.
No, I'm good. I made it.
It's overtime because you have to seven.
No, it's overtime, isn't it?
It's a bill another hour.
You want to talk about something else?
I kind of hold back on my question because
he's feeling better now. He's calculating what he made, so he's starting to feel a little bit better.
Do we still have the question. Camera in here?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another question.
We didn't get rid of that, too.
Okay, that's it.
And 7:20, I'm going to adjourn.
All right.
You too. Nice seeing you.
I really hope you feel better now, right?
Appreciate it.
Any tests for Washington?
7:20 meeting adjourned.